Well, good morning, ladies. Happy Mother's Day. How has everyone enjoyed the food and the fellowship so far? Well, I'm so glad to be here with you, and I do thank the leadership here for giving me the opportunity and the privilege to speak to you as they considered that my testimony may be a blessing to you. I also want to thank Cherry Jones, because she trusted the Lord to ask me to pray about whether I should be sharing what the Lord has done in my life. And I thank you for your faithfulness, because we wouldn't have this in writing at all, and I was challenged to do that, so that's very good. Thank you. Let's pray before we get started. Oh, dear Lord, we thank you for who you are, the only mighty and faithful God. We ask you to prepare our hearts for any truth principles that apply to each of us individually, and first and foremost for your word to take root where it's needed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So in preparation for this, I had to ask the question, how does my testimony relate to Mother's Day, other than that I was a mom during most of these experiences? And what could you possibly take away from what I have to share that you haven't already experienced yourselves? I hope you have received a little vial when you came back in the sanctuary. And if you haven't received one, you can get that on the way out. And we'll start with the first slide. Let's see if this works. Ethan, go ahead. Thank you. And I want to introduce you to the little mustard seed. Matthew 13:32 says, "The mustard seed, which is indeed the least of all these seeds, but when it's grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." So we'll just keep that in mind. You're wondering, what about the mustard seed? Well, you will see. So see, for me, from aimless living to knowing Christ to eternity, my story is essentially about truth and trust. See, trust and peace, like each other, they go hand in hand. Embrace yourselves, because as I share several true scenarios that happened in my life, you will be hearing the word trust a lot, because I believe that trust is also a key ingredient in your life. Looking back, I've always desired to trust. I also desired the wisdom it takes to navigate life peacefully and without insecurity, emptiness, and anxiety, regardless of what life might be hurling at me. Supposedly, such a thing existed. One of my anxieties was having to make decisions and the feeling that I was never in the right place. There's an echo I hear. Okay. I coveted how everyone else seemed so on top of life and enjoyed confidence in their plans. And so the desire to overcome these vices inadvertently led me on a search to find help, because I needed help. I kept attempting to place my hope in all kinds of different teachings and philosophies, even occult teachings that disguised themselves as truth, which I didn't know at the time. And occasionally I picked up the Bible, but nothing I read in it made sense at the time. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." So there's the truth already, the reason why I didn't understand anything. And so I kept wondering, there must be unshakable truth out there somewhere. Every time I set my heart on a new thing that promised to have the answers that I was looking for, it was like a bad diet. It promised much but didn't deliver. So I continued to feel empty, timid, and without purpose. I didn't know how to discern what's true and helpful. My own reasoning had sure failed me a lot. All I knew was that life felt like petting the cat backwards, simply not right from every angle, and that true happiness must be an illusion. See, already as a child, I was so shy, I couldn't give the fly on the wall the time of day. Insecurity seemed already ingrained in me at a young age, and some of it may have had to do with my upbringing. I was the product of a marriage troubled by alcohol and abuse, from which my mom took the initiative to rescue my brothers and me when we were very young. I think this contributed to me being plagued by constant night terrors, which during the daytime manifested in separation anxiety. As my mom tried to navigate through life herself, she remarried twice. My brothers and I had to cope with that fact as well, and it was very challenging. So can any of you possibly relate to a broken family with different but similar scenarios? Some of you can, I'm sure. And don't get me wrong, I still had a decent childhood filled with a lot of fun, traditions, celebrations, and memories. Mom made sure of all that. And one thing I also knew, Mom really loved us. So I kept particularly remembering how she prayed the Lord's Prayer by my bedside. But I did grow up with the love and shelter of a lion dad, if there's such a thing as a lion mom, right, moms? Looking for that love and shelter, by the time I was an adolescent, I had entered unhealthy relationships with bad dating ideas. By now, I had been influenced by peers around me and had come up with my own reasoning as how to grow up into adulthood. Since I also desired to be a good person, I threw myself into any endeavor with my whole heart, hoping that's what that meant. My steady companions every time were anxiety, loneliness, insecurity, heartache, and shame. Quickly, I found out that the saying, if you're good to others, others will be good to you, wasn't true. So I determined people really couldn't be trusted. And the less I felt I could trust, the more I was anxious to seize control of any situation that could potentially hurt or disappoint me. And that was how I compensated for my insecurity. See, distrust and control go hand in hand, and they too like each other. And determining to not trust just to protect myself in order not to get hurt makes as much sense as taking the battery out of a clock in order to attempt to save time. Think about it. It just doesn't make any sense. So I continued to long for healing from all the hurts that were sticking to me like tar, so it seemed, many of which I brought onto myself and I was responsible for. Then in my early 20s, I met my future husband, Scott, a GI in the Air Force. We dated for 6 years before we got married. Do you know those bumpy cobblestone roads in Europe? Well, we were riding on wooden wheels on one of those. I think that describes our attempt to have a good marriage very well. When Tyler was a year old, we received orders to move to the U.S. Scott and I had decided I would be a stay-at-home mom because it didn't make sense to work only to pay the daycare, and we wanted to teach manners and morals ourselves. So we had to move to the States, and if you might be familiar with the military, you might know that it can take several weeks to months until your household goods arrive. And without them, I had a lot of time to think. Leaving my friends and other busy kind of work life behind, going on long walks with Tyler. I felt alone and a little depressed, so I wondered if God was really out there. There seemed to be a drawing for me to go to church as I remembered my mom's prayers by my bedside. The elderly neighbor couple was delighted to take me. Scott stayed at home with Tyler while I attended Sunday school and church for many months, and I continued to have many questions because all the other religions claimed to be true too. I just wasn't convinced. Then one day, as I was sitting in my living room, I was looking at my hands, moving my fingers, and looking at my palms. I realized how precisely and intricately my fingers were made. I marveled at their obedience to my brain's command, and I was astounded at the speed at which this information traveled to order my hands to move. I was in awe that my eyes were able to observe it all precisely at the same time and that my mind, at the split of a second, was able to ponder and marvel at it all. Then looking outside, I observed the grass and the trees. I realized for the first time that, of course, the rain waters these plants and I can water them also, but I could never make them grow. They just grew. As I stood there, I saw a picture in my mind, a daydreaming kind of a scenario. The earth was a desert place with rocks and sand only. There was just one bushel of grass blades in the whole world. It was located in a museum under a glass dome, and all the world marveled at the bushel of grass because everyone knew there was something really special about it. It was created. It was alive, and nobody on earth could make it grow except God. Right then, I was sure. I knew that God existed. I couldn't see the forest because of the trees. God's wonderful creation is all around us. I just had to get to know God, if that was possible. And so I asked if he would reveal himself to me. I had so many questions for him, and at the time it seemed like I was the only one speaking. So stateside and mountain home, soon we purchased a house because mortgage was less expensive than paying rent. Our second son, Nevin, was born and life was busy at home. After about 6 months, God received orders to Korea, where family couldn't go with him. We had barely lived a year in that new home and already needed to sell it. Scott was worried we would lose a lot of money, and he asked why I seemed so indifferent. See, I didn't realize that I came across that way since I started talking to God, who made my hands and the bushel of grass. It seemed that I wasn't quite so insecure and in need to control things, knowing that he would have the answers to all that troubled me. So without much worry, I sassily joked to Scott and said, I sold sports cars, I traveled the world, I peddled lipstick, and we might just sell this house in time without losing a lot of money. That was a misplaced kind of confidence, but in hindsight, I just couldn't put my finger on it yet that God was already at work. The short of the story is that the house sold with a profit, so close to our moving date, that I was literally mopping the kitchen out the back door as the new owners were bringing the furniture in the front. Scott sighed in relief and was astounded how everything had worked out and said, I said, yes, isn't it incredible? I think we had a little help, pointing upwards. So Scott would be gone to Korea for 1 year. The kids and I would spend the first 4 months in Germany and the remaining 8 months here in Coeur d'Alene. Being able to see my German family just kind of put a band-aid on the fact that Scott had to be gone so long. Arriving overseas, I soon started visiting family. One day, I needed to bring along gift, and I found what I needed in a little tea and bookshop. As I was ready to proceed to pay, a row of Bibles caught my eye, so I picked the smallest one I could find, as I was careful to not overfill my suitcases. It is this little Bible right here. It's called the Mustard Seed Bible because of its size. It's tiny, isn't it? So I started reading it every night. I couldn't put it down. But I was critical and simply still not convinced that I was reading truth and that I could, you guessed it, trust that this claims to be the word of God to us. So I continued to talk to God, the one who made me and makes everything grow. As our time in Germany closed, I also asked God to help me find an apartment upon the return to Coeur d'Alene, and I asked him specifics. I had anxiety about my kids falling off a balcony, so I asked him to provide living on level ground. I was also anxious about my kids getting hurt while parenting alone, so I asked for the kitchen to be open with a peninsula so I could watch them play in the living room while I was cooking. God, my own bedroom would be nice too, I said. The day came to fly back to the U.S. We had to change planes twice, and on our second flight, it was announced that we were going to land with a big delay and that passengers needed to rush immediately to their connections. We were traveling with a diaper bag, a car seat that went on top of a folding stroller, carry-on backpack, jackets, etc. You get the idea? I was a mule. I prayed and tried not to feel anxious about it. The kids were sound asleep and exhausted. After landing, everyone stormed out like a horde of animals, and my adrenaline level was up to my nostrils. As we exited the plane into the Seattle airport, a gentleman approached me and said, "You have 5 minutes to get to your connection. I will show you exactly where to go. May I help you with your bags?" I default reminded myself that people couldn't be trusted, but I also remembered that I had just prayed for God to help me and that things were urgent. I suddenly had the tiniest amount of trust. Look at that little mustard seed in the vial that you were given. So I decided that at least I could let him have the diaper bag. So while we rushed with our hands full, he consoled me with kind words. You will be fine. We're almost there. You will safely get where you need to go. As we approached the gate, the attendant eagerly was awaiting us. I quickly reached for my boarding passes and handed them to her. When I looked up to say goodbye and thank you to the gentleman, he had already moved far across this dome-like building. How was this possible? He was just standing next to me 3 seconds ago. I hollered, "Thank you. I don't even have your business card. How can I thank you?" As he kept walking on, he turned his head, waved, and shouted, "This is how it was meant to be." As the kids and I finally sat down for takeoff, I pondered what had just happened. I became aware that the gentleman had approached me as soon as I came through that door, and he knew where I was going. I had not talked to anyone, and the horde that stormed out certainly didn't care. The man had no coat or luggage, so he wasn't a passenger himself trying to do a good deed. He neither was wearing any kind of uniform, a badge, any airport identification, like a lanyard or a name tag. Suddenly, it dawned on me with gratitude. God had sent help for me when I needed it, and he really cares about everything. This was certainly a perfect gift for me, and some of the scriptures that you have printed out, if you want to make a mental note, James 1:17, which is the perfect gift. Everything that is perfect comes from the Lord. It's not a coincidence. So we landed on a Thursday around midnight in Spokane, my parents-in-law eagerly awaiting us. My father-in-law, Larry, always gets up way before the chickens and had already circled apartment ads in the newspaper. When I got up, I looked for those ads, and again, something interesting happened for someone like me who used to be anxious having to make decisions. By 8 a.m., I had strong interest in 2 advertisements. By 10 a.m., I had called the agency and set up a time to look at the first one. By 1 p.m., I had seen the first. By late afternoon, I had signed the rental agreement, never having to look at the second apartment. On Monday, we moved into Legends Parkway Apartments across from the Croc Center, when there wasn't a Croc Center yet. Apartment on bottom floor, kitchen overseeing the living room, my own bedroom, and a bonus, my own bathroom too. Thank you, Lord. So Joan, my mom in law, said, "Mom, just wave." It's right here. "Don't you think that was a little too fast? Are you sure that was the right move?" She loved having all those littles at home, of course, and we enjoyed our time too. And I answered, "Yes, Mom, it is just like the deal with my wedding dress." "What happened with your wedding dress?" "Well," I replied, "we have so much divorce in our family, and I was really setting my mind on never getting divorced. In fact, sometimes I pray that now. I knew exactly what my dress would look like. After searching 2 fat catalogs at the store, I spotted it, and it was exactly what I was looking for. I ordered the dress, and the lady handed me the receipt where the name of the dress was noted, and it said, 'Forever.' In the same way, I know that the apartment was absolutely perfect. It was actually more than I asked for." If you would advance to the next slide with, just to give you a visual, that's the dress. And go ahead, just go to the next slide so we don't have distraction. Then I asked Joan, I don't know if you know how I meant that, so anyway. Then I asked Joan if she had a friend who could take me to church. The next Sunday, Lois came to pick me up at Mom and Dad's while Mom was cooking Easter dinner. Because I didn't know whether I could find the truth in the church, I asked God to help me navigate whether I could trust what I was hearing there. As we sat in service, everything I was hearing was exactly what I had read in my tiny Bible. Things started to make sense, and I knew that I was hearing truth. It was nothing that I did, but suddenly I started to understand that I could trust what I was hearing. Then they showed a short clip of the Passion of the Christ. Some of you are familiar with that. And suddenly my eyes were opened and the hidden puzzle piece that I had been searching for so long emerged with overwhelming clarity. Jesus is indeed the Son of God, and he's God in the flesh. The tar and the hurt sticking to me is my own sin. My sin requires payment because God is a just judge, and there will be no unclean sinners entering his presence in heaven. If I attempt to pay for my sin on my own, I face eternal death and torment in hell. But God sent his Son to pay the penalty for my sin and clean me from it. So after this death here, I can have eternal life for real. Because Jesus overcame death and rose again, he lives. And because he lives, I can live also. Jesus is alive right now, sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and he offers his perfect, holy life in exchange for my filthy one. And lastly, I realized that there's nothing else to do but to receive this gift freely and trust Jesus. I quietly broke down my chair, completely convicted of my sins and overwhelmed by God's love for me. Now I could see that I had no power to clean up my own sin and that I needed God's merciful sacrifice, his gift to mankind, so badly. Lois handed me her fresh hanky, this one. I still have it. She said, "Honey, are you okay?" I cried quietly and answered, "I've never been better than today, Lois. Oh, I thank God so much. Thank you, God. Thank you." Right after church, Lois asked, "Your face is really red. Do you want me to drive around in the pig?" She called her PT Cruiser the pig. Do you want me to drive around for a while before bringing you home? I believe that the spirit that had just taken residence within me 20 minutes earlier had me answer this. Remember, I'm really shy, timid, full of anxiety. This is what I answered Lois. "Lois, don't you think the God of all the universe didn't already know that my face would be looking like this today? Please drive me home. My life has changed forever." I would like you to consider faith and trust are often synonymous. Remember the little mustard seed? They go hand in hand, and they too like each other. So we drove right back to my parents-in-law. As I entered the door, Tyler came running into my arms and said, "Mommy, you were crying." And I acknowledged, "Yes, those are tears of joy." And he kissed me on the cheek and said, "Okay," and ran off. Talking about a lesson in trust, he trusted I was telling him the truth. My face didn't look like it. Faith like a child, right? He believed me. I realized Tyler too needs Jesus. Nathan needs Jesus. My husband needs Jesus. Oh goodness, my whole family needs Jesus. The whole world needs Jesus because the Bible says we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the good news about the good news, don't miss this. This gift is available to everyone who will, you guessed it, trust in it. That very night, I started a devotion time with my kids to thank the living God who had revealed himself to me. I now knew who he is. I could spend time talking to him and learn about him whenever I picked up my Bible. And remember, this talk is all about trust. This should already be the happy ending. But after a few days, doubt came washing over me. But listen closely. Doubt is a fierce enemy of trust. They do not go hand in hand, and they do not like each other. And thoughts kept returning to my mind that sounded like this. "You might have made this all up. How foolish. Rescue from sin? Sin is a part of life. There's no need for that." This voice wasn't playing nice, and I needed this settled once and for all. I asked God to show me how I would have peace about my eternal rescue and thanked him for everything he had already done for me. I was so eager to hear from God that I was kind of asking him for a sign, and he already was not, he knew what was going on in my heart. The following three Sundays, this happened. Each Sunday night, Saturday night, I studied the exact Bible verses the pastor was using. That was my sign, right? This was not a verse-by-verse teaching or sermon series. On the fourth Sunday, I was excited to see if it happens again, cheering that I was walking with God, and it didn't happen again. So as soon as we were back home and the kids were tucked in for a nap, I ran to my room with my Bible and read and prayed and asked, "What happened, Lord?" In the quiet of my heart, it dawned on me that God was in intimate fellowship with me. He was gladly teaching me and to his choosing, answering me. I sat there and came across Psalms 22, just God and me. He showed me in this psalm that Christ's death on the cross was foretold even to the utmost detail of casting the dice for Jesus' garment as he was hanging on that cross. The Old Testament was many years older than the New Testament, this much I knew. I looked at a commentary and it said, about 750 years before Christ's crucifixion, this psalm was written. I knew God was showing me this, and I started to have this strong impression on my heart as if he was saying something like this: "I have revealed myself to you and love you with an everlasting love. I have compassionately answered your doubt, like I answered Thomas in the Bible who doubted. Now is the time to make up your mind that you completely trust whom you know to be truth, my son, Jesus Christ." It felt like that lion dad had just loving me but sternly disciplined me to forsake foolishness. It was like he was saying, "Enough with the signs. You have been given everything you need, and there's no one else who is trustworthy like Jesus." God's word to us says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." See, trust and truth are intimately related. They go hand in hand, and they too like each other. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I've never been the same since, and the voice that doubted my salvation has never returned again. Jesus leads me into every trial that life continues to present to me. You see, the trials will not go away, but all the strength and the peace, the endurance and the wisdom, the comfort and the assurance we can have when we fully trust God's Son. A year later, I was told, "You're a completely different person, and I like it." Oh yes, how true that is. Without knowing, she confirmed what the Bible says. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." But I ask you, ladies, when that person noticed that change in me, was my faith or my trust in Jesus still a little mustard seed rolling safely around in a seed pocket? Or had it already been planted and grown into a small but visible plant for anyone to see? I'm sure you can answer that for yourselves by now. In the years after trusting Jesus, many prayers have been answered with tremendous power and blessing. Each of them is a complete testimony in itself. And to just give you an idea of how powerfully God continues to work in my family's life, I will just quickly describe some of them. Let's do the slide with the family, please, there. Do you remember about my dad? I was completely reconciled to my biological dad after 11 years of complete silence. Before, I couldn't trust him. Now I trust Jesus to use me to help my dad realize his need for Jesus. Slide 14. When we came to Italy, we had very few housing options because of three children, a dog, and a cat. It looked like Scott had to commute a long way back and forth to the airbase. When we prayed for a house to open up for us, the house of the same family that we sponsored to help find their house when they came to Germany from the U.S., opened up, and after they moved out, we lived in their house for 3.5 years. I need a tissue. Okay, thank you. Don't want to be sniffling. I was nudged to not go on a train ride with my kids while my mom and my niece were visiting us in Italy. We were supposed to spend that day together in Venice, and I told them I couldn't explain why we couldn't go with them that day, and I risked looking foolish. I dropped them off at the train station and obeyed this gentle but urgent voice. When we got home, I detected blood blisters on Nevin's body. Next picture, please. Some on his neck, arms, buttocks, groins, and legs. We were sent to oncology department of the Italian Catholic Hospital in Pordenone, where we had just come from to drop mom and dad and my niece off. Within a short time, Nevin received platelet transfusions. We were told that the normal level is about 150,000. If the count wasn't up to 20,000 from the 5,000 he had left, we had a strong chance of having leukemia on our hands. As we were waiting and praying, next slide, please. It was time for Nevin to have his blood drawn again to check his platelet level. Right then, I found out my pregnant friend, Rafaela. This is my niece and my mom sitting in the front, and this is Rafaela. Okay, thank you. Go ahead. I found out that she was admitted in the same hospital, next slide, for contractions, it's okay, in her fourth month of pregnancy, right below us. I went to pray with her, and we were both washed with tremendous peace that everything would be okay. When I got back upstairs, the doctors came in and gave us the news that Nevin's platelet level was now at 79,000. The doctors said it was a miracle. They asked how we could be so calm. Believe me, we didn't feel completely calm, but we were praying to the only one who could do something about this situation so we wouldn't lose our minds. I hardly spoke any Italian yet, and all I was able to say was, "Andiamo con Dios," which means we walk with God. In a moment of silence, nobody raised an eyebrow or belittled us. And my friend Rafaela, next slide, carried her baby Killian to term. Let's go to the video, and let's make sure it's not super loud because it's not beautiful, but it's a testimony. That's Nevin. Is the audio working? That's okay. So we're singing praises to God right after we get the good news. And we're saying, thank you, Lord, we love you, Jesus. And he's chiming in with me, and we're about to go home because we know he was going to be okay. In a different situation, I got bit by a cat, which sent me in the ER with a severe infection in my arm, for which I required potent IV medication. In the process of eliminating risks, I found out that I was pregnant with our third child. And they changed the meds to be taken orally, but I had to sign away liability because the medicine was most likely stunting baby's growth platelets and had other strong side effects. After 1 week, I knew that something was really wrong with the life inside of me. I pleaded with God because I was afraid. The next morning, I had all the signs of having lost my baby. Mom watched the kids, and Lois was again with me. It seems like God often supplies an additional witness when he is up to something great. At the ER, they confirmed the loss, and the ultrasound showed the detachment. They needed to follow protocol to finish an extensive ultrasound in order to make sure I didn't need a procedure. And Lois and I watched that monitor, and then they located another healthy heartbeat. Our son, Lucas. Happy ending yet? In my fourth month of pregnancy, Lucas was diagnosed with severe spina bifida. Doctors assumed it was from the medication I took, and I was advised to abort the baby. Talking about a roller coaster, we ran to our God and asked everyone to pray with us. We must have been on many prayer chains and settled to raise a handicapped child, if that was the will of God. The next ultrasound in almost my sixth month showed no spina bifida. Zero. He was born a healthy baby boy. Next slide, please. Amen. Praise the Lord. And according to God's word to us, my family believes that we have another son or daughter in heaven whom we will certainly meet one appointed day. Praise God. Oh, that was Rafaela. Keep going forward. There's Lucas right there, healthy as can be. And go ahead, the next picture, please. I was prompted to click on an internet profile on a German social website while we were stateside, only to find out that the lady behind the profile was the granddaughter of our neighbors in Germany when I was 9 years old. She played on my playground years later. I had never met Vanessa, and she now lived only several miles away from us, was in utter distress and needed help, which by God's grace we were able to provide. And she and her newborn baby Lauren, right there, that's Vanessa and Lauren, lived with us for 3 months on base so she could safely return to Germany. Next picture, please. My then soon-to-be Muslim sister-in-law, Sabiha, whom I also had never met, and I lived in a woman's shelter in Germany, turned away from her sins after God decided to connect us with a low-cost phone card across the continents every day for 3 months. Praise the Lord. The next one is a scripture. That's the last one. These are just everyday life situations. God is so interested in what we do. I was healed of complete deafness in my left ear, measured and remeasured in the inner ear with computers after a severe infection. It is a long, desperate, and God-honoring story, and our military medical records continue to remind us of what the doctors couldn't accomplish with agonizing steroid treatments and what then the Lord my God did for me. I have full hearing. My hearing is fully restored. It was 85% for the longest time, but that's another story. There are just a few out of, these are just a few out of 40 extraordinary instances or reminders or examples, or the Bible calls them Ebenezers, the pile of stones to tell the next generation when they see it and ask what happened here, that you would tell them what the Lord your God has done for you. So I call them my Ebenezers. And these Ebenezers in my life just show how letting God have the reins resulted in a more strengthened faith that started out with the size of a tiny mustard seed. John 12:24 says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." It is the same with our faith. Every time we let God have the reins, we die to self, and God can produce fruit for his glory. Because all these amazing stories you were hearing wasn't anything I did. It was God at work revealing his power to us. Praise him. So the living God of the Bible is even more powerful than all this. If he didn't answer another prayer except the one he already answered about my eternal rescue, it would be enough. I think it's completely appropriate to mention my mom here on Mother's Day. I sure wish you could meet her here today. You can go to the next picture, please. Many of you have been praying for her as she's been through a terrible trial here lately. She's doing okay right now, and I want to thank everyone who's been praying for her. If you could please pray for salvation of my stepdad and for her health to stabilize, my family would thank you so much for it. And for all you daughters who cannot be with your moms either today, for you whose moms are already home with the Lord, and for you widows among us, I pray that the God of all comfort washes you with peace and contentment today. May the Lord bless you through your loved ones and the family of God during your time of loss right now. I also pray for you, for any foster mom. Angela, I'm thinking about you. You come to mind, and for foster children that are loved by these foster moms and those children that are older foster kids that are hurting to especially feel God's love for them today. See, today I demonstrated to you how lost I was without direction for truth. I was also able to share with you how God was at work even while I was still seeking to know his name. And God continues to be faithful. So how about you, dear daughter and dear mom? Are you rescued for all eternity? Do you know Jesus or do you just know about him? Do we falsely hear nowadays that we're all God's children? We truly are God's creation, but no one is a child of God until he or she accepts God's only Son, Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of his or her sins. I believe that's very important to understand. On my journey of faith, the Lord continues to use some hard questions to keep drawing me close and to discipline me for my faith to become stronger yet. And I have provided this printout with all these questions if you're interested to see what they are about. I share them because I have dealt with them as they come up. You're also welcome to take at home if you wish. And please correct the headline there. The header should say, "How I have been challenged so God might grow the mustard seed." I don't grow anything. I need to be obedient and rejoice in the Lord. I believe this can help all of us evaluate and help see how confident we are and whether we are truly trusting, because the proof of trust isn't in the pudding, but in the confidence. Trust and confidence go hand in hand, and they too like each other. I am not shy anymore, but confident in the Lord. I am since able to view people with compassion and not rejection, distrust, disappointment, judgment, or anxiety. Oh, sure, my old nature wants to have the upper hand at times, but I have the truth to compare all things in life to and have literally been made new. I am no longer in shackles to my old default. I understand that everyone who is still searching for truth is a sinner just like me, yet to trust in Jesus. And the only difference is that I have been rescued by God's amazing grace when I received his gift. So how about you? What is your default? What has the upper hand in your life? In all my roles as a mom, wife, daughter, sister, daughter-in-law, and even friend, God is my anchor, and in any storm I can tell you this. There's no other peace like the living hope and peace in Jesus Christ for this life and all eternity future. And while God continues to be faithful, you need to know that many prayers have been answered with a no, not now. I don't want to give the impression that God is the Santa Claus that fulfills a wish list, but I will say that he's gracious and eager to answer and guide you through a sea of lies and untrustworthiness in this world. I could truly depend on him even when I had failed him. See, trust and dependence go hand in hand, and they too like each other. Christ is the answer to any and all problems, no matter how bad, all the way unto death, because Christ has overcome death. You will find the accompanying scripture in your printout. And by the way, when I type this out, go ahead and go to the next slide, I misspelled rescue like this. How fitting. Ladies, what kind of trust is it that you need in your current situation? Saving faith? Indwelling daily faith, trusting in his promises and depending on his instructions in the Bible, or seeking another believer that encourages you in truth? James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." That was, is, and continues to be truly what I experience. Again, thank you all for joining the Mother's Day brunch here at Hayden Bible Church today. Now remember, only in Jesus we are a new creation, and that means we're different, not perfect, but changed. And what I mean by that, I think in pictures, so bear with me. Do you know when a pig rolls around in the mud? Got that picture? The mud represents sin. I used to be that pig, happily rolling around in the mud, even bragging how brave I was to be that dirty. Now I still stumble into the mud at times, and I despise it, and I run to God as quickly as I can to get cleaned up. I hope this picture helps you. Now, if you have never experienced that change because of Jesus that I described, in just a minute I'm going to pray aloud. And if it's your heart's desire to express placing your faith in Jesus as your own rescue, your own redeemer from your own sin, I invite you to pray along with me. You may already have that personal relationship with Jesus about which I spoke. Then you belong to Christ and you don't have to pray this prayer of salvation again. You are probably recalling many instances in your own life where God's hand can be undoubtedly traced. In fact, we would love to see you up here sharing your testimony of your walk with Jesus so we can all be encouraged of the reality of God's merciful work in your life. Be bold, rely on God. Many of you here have a story to tell. In trusting, I overcame nervousness and showed that I needed to completely rely on Him to do this. When fear plagued me about speaking up for the glory of God, He warned me. The Lord knows I analyze words and I love languages. He warned me to not produce a testimony by telling about His wondrous miracles while filled with fear of talking in front of you, or by thinking I could be confident for confidence' sake. So be encouraged and be bold in Christ. Step out in faith. He will do the rest. Everybody knows already that only God is perfect. And perhaps you're here but feel very little connection to a faith journey like I've just shared about. You may have additional questions. Please feel free to talk to any of the ladies that help put together the brunch, or even to me as you seek answers to these questions. Now, for anyone here who would like to pray with me, you can silently pray as I pray aloud. Let's bow our hearts. Dear Jesus, I do believe you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross to pay for the penalty of all my sins. Because you alone are holy and sinless, completely without fault or darkness, only you can forgive sin. So I ask you to forgive all of mine as I turn away from my selfish ways and desire a life that pleases you. I call upon your name, Jesus Christ, as my Savior and my Lord. I want to follow you and desire to let you be the leader of my life. I need your help and your strength for it. As I spend time with you in the Word, the Bible, and while talking to you in prayer, I ask you to please instruct me and give me understanding as how I am supposed to live my life here on earth until I meet you face to face. Change my heart to love the things you love and hurt for the things you hurt for. Heavenly Father, please help me to find meaningful fellowship and connections within the Christian women that are represented here or in another church for further encouragement and strengthening in my newfound faith in you. Thank you for your gift of eternal life and for the Holy Spirit who has now come to live in me. I ask this in your Son's holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, ladies, if anyone has earnestly prayed to be rescued by praying this prayer, we would love it if you shared the greatest joy with someone here, because the Bible says there's joy in the presence of God's angels over one sinner who repents. I sure hope this has been an encouragement to you, and happy Mother's Day.